Well, it's just, you know, it's taken a while for things kind of to come together for us. And I think every week you learn, and it's, you learn right up through the end of the year. And, you know, we just dealt with a lot of different situations and injuries and players coming in and out. And the one positive is guys are healthy. And, you know, anytime you come out of a game healthy, that gives you a pretty good chance the next week. So, you know, we have a lot of football ahead of us. You know, just got to go play really well and, you know, try to get this one against Buffalo, which will be a big challenge. And then we'll, you know, see how things shake out. But hopefully we can have a great game this week.
All right, so that was from Monday, the weekly appearance by Tom Brady here on WEI with Mutt and Callahan in the morning. And I want to get into this here. I want to examine this. We talked, you've been with us. I'm sure you've been listening the entire night, right? You haven't been listening for like 2 minutes. But we talked last hour about Bill Belichick and kind of overall what the Patriots have to do here the final couple of weeks of the year. But in the fallout from the loss to the Steelers, there's a lot of collateral damage. And the run defense, which has been garbage, right? That's near the top of the list. But Tom Brady, as he has been right in the middle of the bullseye, he has been put under the microscope. And if you've been paying attention to the noise, and again, if you listen during the day, you hear this, and why should we be any different at night? How could you miss it? There has been an overabundance of stories. Not all of them are national stories. There's some local stories as well about the decline of Tom Brady, and there are indicators of this being the end. And the one for me was the throw early in the fourth quarter that couldn't get out of bounds, that didn't get out of bounds. That was a troubling, troubling sign. If you're a big Patriots guy, you got to be like, ah, crap, that sucks. That's Peyton Manning his last year with the Broncos when he could not make all the throws. That is a problem. And I was listening earlier to OMF, and they discussed this. It really is low-hanging fruit. They took a swing at it. Everyone's been doing it. Some are writing the eulogy for Tom Brady. Shannon Sharp, bloviating on Fox Sports 1, thinks that Father Time is catching up with Tom Brady. How about my colleague at Fox, Rob Parker? That, in fact, rather than me say what Rob Parker said, let's hear Rob Parker in his own words summing up my friend Tom Brady.
And if I'm the Patriots, I wouldn't bring him back next year.
Oh,
I wouldn't.
Thank goodness you're not.
I would not bring Tom Brady back for 2020.
Yeah, who you gonna start? Who you starting?
I don't know.
All right. That's all we needed to know.
A younger guy,
and we start rebuilding.
Tom Brady is done.
There you go. He's done. It's my guy Rob Parker, good friend of mine. Says Brady's done. Patriots should let him go. Of course, he didn't have an idea of who they should bring in, but that's the problem. See, that's the flaw in the argument, is to get rid of Tom Brady, you have to then bring somebody in. So I wanted to address this. I want to have some fun with this because Rob Parker is not alone. There are other voices, some would say snakes in the grass, that are claiming that this is the path the Patriots have to go down, that the day of reckoning is upon us, and that, hey, this is judgment time, and Tom Brady is not getting a passing grade. So think of this as a roundhouse kick, if you will, to the status of Tom Brady with the Patriots. But let's get into it. Now, the question, we're going to frame it this way, all right? The question is, would letting Tom Brady go be a good call or bad call after the season? Now, the answer here is it would be a bad call, right? It would be a bad call, and I'll tell you why. You've got the Salvage Dogs, the Ham and Eggers, and Dilly Dally. All right, you get those three things, and we will tie all this together. Now, number one, if you look at the projected landscape for quarterbacks in the offseason, you know what it is? It's an eyesore, is what it is. You know what I'm talking about? You might, I don't know where you live and all that, but in your neighborhood, there might be that one building, maybe hopefully there's not more than one, that's kind of run down, or that house that people don't take care of that's just a mess. That it's an eyesore. Quarterback list, and I keep an eye on this because I got no life and I keep track of this stuff. The available quarterbacks after the season, it is the bad news bears is what it is. So let's assume the position. Let's for this hypothetical thing, let's assume the position that the Patriots do not have Tom Brady's long-term replacement on the roster, or even short-term. Unless you are related to Brian Hoyer, I believe you will agree. I think that seems fair, right? That there's not the long-term answer, and I'm not gonna go over with a fine-tooth comb the practice squad. But the reality is that's where we're at. So what would life look like in a world without Tom Brady? Let's do the whole Twilight Zone thing. And you are now in 2019, which is only a couple of weeks away, but you're in football season. Tom Brady is done. You would force him, or not force him, but encourage him to retire. You'd say, Tom, you've made a ton of money. You're doing very well. And go hang out with Giselle and go to Brazil, do whatever you have to do, open a bunch of TB12 clinics, make them bigger than McDonald's, put a TB12 clinic everywhere, and that's it. Just do it. Let's say you're that guy. The Patriots, if that were to happen, and they have to go out into scramble mode and find a new quarterback salvation, they would be essentially salvage dogs. Is what they would be, right? Because among the quarterbacks who are available in free agency 2019, you've got Blake Bortles, Andy Dalton is expected to be let go by the Cincinnati Bungles. He's expected to be out there. Joe Flacco, jump ball Joe can be yours. How about Sam Bradford, deer in the headlights, Sam Bradford. He's available as well. All of those players can be yours. The price does not have to be right. You know what that is? That is a pandemic of bad quarterbacks. That is the bubonic plague of quarterbacks. Bortles, Dalton, Flacco, Bradford. That's a shopping list of has-beens, never-were's, and then you got a one-hit wonder mixed in there. Joe Flacco had an out-of-body experience that one postseason for the Ravens. And then you have complete total failures, right? Complete total failures mixed in. So that's the list, right? So if you're following the Rob Parker line of thinking here, then you have to get somebody like that to replace Tom Brady. Now, I don't know about you, but I am not going to go out of my way to sign up for a reclamation project. I would rather, it would be like Weekend at Bernie's and prop up Tom Brady as long as he can go out there. Now, there are other options. There's a possibility that you could seduce Matt Patricia. You could woo him to trade Matthew Stafford, but how good is he? Matthew Stafford also seems shell-shocked. When I've watched the Lions over the years, it seems he puts up some good numbers, and then there are many games where it appears that he is thunderstruck, and it's just not good. And the only other name that makes sense, well, I guess there's two other names here. I got two other names. You've got Derek Carr, who certainly could be scapegoated and just the mass exodus out of Raider Nation, the silver and black. John Gruden's trying to get rid of everyone. He wants to take it down to the drywall, and so you could get rid of Derek Carr. Would that excite you? No. How about famous Jameis Winston, everyone's favorite Uber customer, Jameis Winston? He can be yours. Yeah. So there's a lot of warts on those guys. So to put it differently here, Tom Brady in his early 40s is the most viable option than anyone on that list. He is average. He made the Pro Bowl based on past glory, right? Can we agree on that? It's a popularity contest. He made it. Now, ironically, if Tom Brady was a defensive back, I was actually texting a friend of mine. Believe it or not, I have a couple of friends. I was texting a friend of mine. I think it was Sunday evening, but it doesn't really matter when it was. But we were going back and forth about the Patriots. He was giving me a hard time because the Steelers beat the Patriots and all that. He'd give me that whole rap about that and the way the Patriots have lost the last couple games in the fourth quarter. And he said if Tom Brady was a defensive back, if Brady was playing defense for the Patriots and had the kind of a season he's had, the kind of a drop-off that he's had, what would Bill Belichick do? Now, I think we both know the answer. The answer is that Bill Belichick would have parted ways with that particular defensive back. My evidence is Malcolm Butler. Right? Now, I know things are different. Right? Number 12 is different, and there's a relationship. There's a bond between Tom Brady and the Kraft family, and I get all that. So, but if it was a different name and it was just a defensive guy, you'd be like, all right, he's gone. He gone. Get out of here. But as we chat on late night on Sports Radio WEI, the second point, and we'll take some calls on this coming up in a little bit, so if you're thinking about calling in, if you know the number, start doing it. If not, just wait. I'll give you the number in a couple minutes. So Tom Brady has not been the bulldozer, just running down people, that he's been in the past. And the numbers indicate that. All the analytics, all the advanced statistical nerds all agree. His performance has taken a pretty large step back. And when you put it into a Petri dish and you put on your science coat and all that, you got your white science jacket on, you're doing the analysis, I mean, you see the ugly truth. He is not, as I said, he's not making all the throws. Brady, it appears, certainly in the Pittsburgh game, there were players that were open, there were receivers that were open. He wasn't seeing them. He's been bailing out on some throws. The arm strength, it would appear, is a concern. And it does look like there's a direct correlation to the Patriots' offense simply not scoring as many points as it has in the past because Tom Brady has – there's these weak spots with Tom Brady. Now, I often talk about the advanced statistics because it makes me sound smarter. And you talk about the next-gen stats of the NFL, which is the advanced statistical model where the NFL – passes out all this data every week, and they've got a big corporate sponsor, and they have all these nice pie charts and all this. Boy, it's really well done. It's really well done, and they have all the numbers there, and you can go through it. They've got passing charts, and oh, my God. It really is a paralysis by analysis is what it is. But if you look at the charts, let's go to the charts. Let's go to the charts, as they say. And you look at Tom Brady, and you look at his numbers. Now, I've referenced this if you've heard me when I've been in occasionally when Gilroy's not here or other people. Tom Brady has there. If you break the field down into quadrants, right? Break the field down into quadrants. You have quadrants. You have behind the line of scrimmage. You've got what's in the box. You've got three boxes. You've got short to the right, short to the left, and then right little screen pass right in the middle. You then have within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage, there's three boxes, right, left, and middle. And then within 20 yards of the line of scrimmage, you have that, and then you have beyond 20 yards. Now, out of those boxes, what's in the box, you have Tom Brady, who's ranked average in most of the categories. Now, he's been an average quarterback in 8 of the 12 areas where they grade the next gen stats, how a quarterback is done. Tom Brady is average in 8 of them. He is below average in only 1 of them. He's been above average in only 3 of the throws this year. Based on this, if you say they're making this up, I don't know how the hell they do this stuff, but they have all the numbers right there. Brady has been fine and above average when throwing to the left side of the field, behind the line of scrimmage, those little screen passes, he's been fine. And then between 10 and 20 yards past the line of scrimmage, but to the left side, he's been, or to the right side rather, he's been pretty good. Other than that, average, and then below average. So those are the numbers. That's the picture. It's not a great picture. It's not. So now the offense, away from Foxborough, it's been mostly a parade of tears. It's been mostly bad. If you look at the statistics here, the Patriots, At home, we mentioned this, they've been fine, right? They're number two in yards per game at home. Only the Rams have been more efficient at home. But on the road, the Patriots are 15th, which is technically a little bit above average because there's 32 teams in the NFL. So it's above average, but not by much. It's pretty much middle of the road. And a better example is scoring. The Patriots are averaging 33.5 points at home. And you know this, they're not playing on the road again until the playoffs. 21.6 points per game on the road. They have been ham and eggers when traveling. And the scoring average, now to give you an idea here, last year when the Patriots got to the Super Bowl, they averaged 28 points a game, 28.4 points a game on the road. So there's a lot of numbers. What does that mean? It means that they're scoring a touchdown less on the road. Touchdown less. And now, it is not all bad news. I reference a story. If you read Pro Football Talk, they had an interesting article up. They came up with a statistic called, they dubbed it bad plays. Did you see this? Maybe you did not see it, but I'll give you the brief thumbnail recap because I thought it was interesting. And I'm actually going to use this because, why not? Something else to do. So they added up quarterback interceptions, incompletions, sacks, and fumbles. And they decided that those are all bad plays, right? Those are negative plays. I think that's accurate. Now, not all incompletions are bad. They're not. If you're throwing the ball away, that's a good incompletion. But they decided, why not? We'll throw all the incompletions in there. So interceptions, incompletions, sacks, and fumbles. And among all the starters, you know who had the most bad plays in the NFL this year? No, not Tom Brady. No, try again. No, now you're wrong again. The answer is Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has 257 bad plays, interceptions, incompletions, sacks, fumbles, all that. Next on the list is Case Keenum of the Broncos and Jared Goff of the Rams. Ben Roethlisberger also is on that list. He's got 233 plays. He's just behind Jared Goff on the bad playlist. So where does Tom Brady rank? He's got 207 of these bad plays, interceptions, incompletions, sacks, fumbles. And that's actually seventh best in the NFL. So seventh best in the NFL. Keep in mind that Patrick Mahomes, the presumptive favorite to win the MVP award, he actually has more of those bad plays than Tom Brady. Of course, he also has a bunch more touchdown passes, and he has done ridiculous at throwing the ball, the deep pass and all that. The numbers have been great. Now, the guy that's actually got the fewest bad plays in the NFL is Drew Brees. He's only got 138, so, again, a lot of numbers, but that is, you're talking about, what is that, 69, I believe is the number? That's, where's Gronk? 69 more bad plays for Brady than Drew Brees. And Brees has been pretty terrible the last three games for the Saints. So what does it mean? It means that, yes, Tom Brady's performance is on the decline, but it has not reached rock bottom. We're not at critical mass, and a caller referenced this last hour, and he, I don't forget who it was, but he was right. Like, if you go back to the Broncos with Peyton Manning when he could not play anymore, when he was done and they still won the Super Bowl, they won the Super Bowl because they had a dominant ability to play defense. Right? They were destroying people. They had a ferocious defense in Denver. They did. It was just tremendous. Patriots don't have that. They haven't had that. They have not. They don't have the kind of havoc the Patriots defense wrecks is when you're watching a running back go for 15 yards. That's the kind of chaos the Patriots defense is given. It's not the most ferocious unit. In fact, more of a 99-cent variety, if you want to get into that, like a dollar store variety. All right, now the last thing on this. Now, we started this whole rant talking about, Rob Parker, who I like. He's a colleague of mine at the other job. But Rob Parker, who is, you know, saying, hey, the Patriots should let Tom Brady go. Now, my theory on the Patriots is this. I'll sum it up very simply. Very, very simply. I'm going to sum this up, okay? Here's what needs to happen. The Patriots have no choice. They have to continue with Tom Brady. They have to beg Tom Brady to come back, even if Tom Brady wants to retire. They have to keep him for one more season. Right? The reason's kind of obvious. Once they sent Jimmy Garoppolo to go out and date porn stars with the 49ers, they doubled down on Tom Brady. They did. They doubled down on Tom Brady. Everyone knows that. It's an open secret. So you do that. That's the first step, right? The first step, you make sure Brady comes back for another year. And then you can't dilly-dally anymore. Bill Belichick and all, you know, Ernie Adams and all these guys are going to have to get together, and they are going to have to decide. Do we want to draft some schmo and groom him with one season on the sidelines to be the quarterback in 2020? Or do you want to take a flyer on a reclamation project, one of those guys that's got the bubonic plague, and let him be the backup for a year? The only one that makes any kind of sense is a guy that stinks, but it's the lesser of evils. Blake Bortles. That's the only one on that list. Andy Dalton, no. Flacco, no. Bradford, God, no. No. The only one, maybe with a year and some proper coaching, you could say Blake Bortles, if he's willing to be a backup for a year and then learn the way. But that's not something anyone gets excited about. Right. Other than that, it's going to be what? Some faceless player from, as I said, the draft, the 2019 draft. Either way, it is imperative that there's a clear line of succession here. How about this? I'm going to throw a wild card scenario out. Now, Jimmy Garoppolo is coming back, I assume, to the 49ers next year. He got that massive contract with the Niners. How about this scenario? The 49ers somehow found another quarterback who doesn't suck. This guy, Nick Mullins, who was undrafted. Nick Mullins, who hasn't played in many games, right? If you're looking for the numbers, he's played sporadically, but he's looked pretty good. In fact, his numbers have been similar to Garoppolo's first couple of games with the 49ers. Any chance that Shanahan would help the Patriots out and say, okay, you gave us Garoppolo, we'll send Nick Mullins outbound and send him into Foxborough, and you can have him as your quarterback? That would certainly be a better option if you're looking at these available quarterbacks. That would be a better option than even somebody like Blake Bortles. All right. Boy, very long-winded. Bad job by me. Good job by Bridget letting me be long-winded. Producer Bridget, she is standing by. The number 617-7797-937. It's 617-7797-937. We've got like a bottleneck. We've got a pile up. And I will cleanse out the phone lines. We'll get through as many of these calls as we possibly can. And we'll also mix in some more finger pointing, which is always fun. And this actually tries to make Belichick and the Patriots actually look good for something they did, a move they made. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
If you watched that game yesterday,
yep.
If you think for 1 second Tom Brady's going to play till he's 45, you're foolish. Mm. If you think Tom Brady is the same quarterback, can he make throws if nobody's in his... Hell, everybody can make throws if they got a clean pocket. Mm. But Tom Brady doesn't want to stare down that gun barrel anymore, Skip Bayless. And there are two occasions in which you saw it yesterday. Mm. And then there are some occasions there was nobody around. Mm. And he's a dying goat. You know, they got them goats, not Jenny. Sometimes they get and they just kick over on you. Mm. That's Tom Brady yesterday. Mm. You saw it. He's flinching, Skip Bayless. Mm. He's not that same guy.
Mm. You know what we need? We need like a decoder ring. Bridget, for what Shannon Sharp is saying is what we need. That was tremendous. Ranting and raving. The rage of Shannon Sharp as we continue here hanging out on late night. I understood most of that.
I think our morning show guys tried to figure out what he was saying after the goat kicks over or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. He was trying to make a goat like analogy. Like, or is there a GOAT idiom that he was trying to get to that he didn't get to?
I think just that Tom Brady's the GOAT, but then the GOAT kicks the bucket. Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, listen, I like the Shannon Sharp thing is amazing to me. I have a Shannon Sharp story. I don't think I've told it here on WEI. I got to share this story. So years ago, when Shannon Sharp was playing for the Denver Broncos, I was doing local radio, and it was before the Super Bowl. It was a long time ago. The Super Bowl was in San Diego, and we had Shannon Sharp booked as a guest. At that time, he was a star tight end, a wonderful player for the Denver Broncos, and we had Shannon Sharp on as a guest. And so we asked him about the Super Bowl, the typical boring sports radio interview questions and all that stuff that happens. And so we had him on. He did not want to talk about anything. He was sponsoring some workout product. He only wanted to talk about that. So we kept asking him football questions. He then said, and God is my witness, I have it on a cassette tape. This is how long ago it was. It was on cassette tape. I have an air check somewhere in my archive. I have to go through it. It's probably my dad's basement. I'll have to go through with a bunch of rats or something like that. But anyway, the point is, Shannon Sharp would not answer any questions about football because he said he doesn't watch football because he didn't like football. And now here we are. I laugh every time I see Shannon Sharp on television because that's the same guy when he was playing that didn't want to talk about football. I don't watch football. And now he's hanging out with Skip Bayless, living large, making a ton of money. And he still probably doesn't watch football. I don't think he was lying when he said that. But it's just amusing to me.
A dying goat. You know, they got them goats. Not Jenny. Sometimes they get a negative kick over me.
That is tremendous. What are some famous, I'm trying to think, like the goat idiom. What would, like, play the goat, act the goat? What else would there be? Get someone's goat, that's one, right? I'm trying to think, anything else? Separate the sheep from the goats, that's one. I think that's the list. We'll get to finger pointing in a minute. Let's go to Ed, who is next here on Sports Radio WEEI with me, Ben Maller. What is going on, Ed?
Hey, Ben. I would like to thank you for the gift of non-boring sports radio because everybody else is so boring.
Really? Who's the most boring guy you know, Ed? Who's the most boring?
On ESPN, it's Fritz and Fitzsimmons, or Freddie and Fitzsimmons.
Oh, really? Are they bad? I don't
They're
know.
They're really boring, yeah.
Really? Okay. All right. Well, you sound like an exciting guy, though, Ed. You're full of life, right?
Yeah, you know me.
Yeah, of course. You're very active on Twitter, Ed, right?
Yes. I love your show.
Well, thank you, buddy.
Overnight.
I've noticed your tech, Ed, I've noticed your technique, though. That you like to carpet bomb is your technique. Like I do the Who Am I and the Insta Trivia, and you send like 7,000 answers. I've seen your technique, Ed. I'm on to you.
Yes, it's effective too.
It is effective. That is true. I usually pick out at least one of them. At least one of them.
More. You did like four the other day. You didn't mention my name, but.
Yeah. Clearly, it was a moment of weakness. It was
an honor, Ben.
Yes, exactly. All right. All right. Anything else, Ed? Yes?
One more thing.
Oh, not one more. You know, one more thing never goes well.
Okay. Everybody else took the All-Star break off, right, Ben? I listened to all these other boring guys, and when they took the time off, I chose to listen to you. I've been a diehard fan ever since. Listened to every single one of your shows.
Well, thank you.
Love you.
All right.
And thanks for the giving.
All right. Thank you, buddy. Very kind. All right. Thank you. I'll hang up on you now because people listening hate when guys call up and just smother the talk show host with praise. I need someone that hates me to balance that out. If you cannot stand me and think that I am a loser, I need you to call right now. I'm going to leave a line open. 617-779-7937. Because we have to be fair here. We absolutely have to be fair. No question about it. It has to happen. Well, see, that's an interesting question, Bridget, when you say, do you want to? You, of course, as the producer, you have to demand these things. You have to demand this, clearly. Anyway, we'll press on. Time now for the Insta trivia. That's right. A blatant attempt to get you to listen a little bit longer. Ed's going to send in 7,000 answers. Mr. Wonderful will send one in. Trip will send one in. I know all my guys. All my guys will send this in. I'm actually multitasking because I'll let you in on a little radio secret. So I do this spot in New Zealand every week, and I had to pre-record, or as my friend Looney says, just record. I had to do it earlier. It actually just aired a few minutes ago, so I had to tweet that out. But anyway, here's the instant trivia. Redskins quarterback Josh Johnson became the oldest quarterback to finally win his first NFL game as a starter since blank. Again, Redskins quarterback Josh Johnson, he out there somehow beat Jacksonville. For those that get triggered by quarterback wins, deal with it. Redskins quarterback Josh Johnson became the oldest quarterback to finally win his first NFL game as a starter since blank. That is the Insta trivia. The answer next. All right, back to it we go. Time now for the Insta trivia. Then we'll get to some finger pointing as well. And here it is. Redskins quarterback Josh Johnson, he became the oldest quarterback to finally win his first NFL game, first NFL win as a starter since blank. That is the Insta trivia. The answer, let's see, does anyone know the answer? We'll go page down, page down, page down. Let's see, we have Doug Flutie, guessed by Friedman. Who else? Larry Mondello from Stinky D, Chris Wenke from Mr. Wonderful, Rob listening on radio.com out in Vegas is going with Eric Cartman as his answer. All right. Nobody knows. I'm glad that you don't know the answer. The correct answer, Josh Johnson, the oldest quarterback to get a win since, let's see, I got some more guesses coming in here. Let me look. Steve DeBerg, guessed by Nick. We have Jeff Garcia, brother of Eddie from Trip. No, these are still wrong. The correct answer, the great Jamie Martin. Jamie Martin, who was 35 years old for the old St. Louis Rams back in 2005, got a win over the New Orleans Saints. I bet you there's a name you didn't think you'd hear on the radio, right? Jamie Martin. I actually remember him, which tells you that I am a dope and I am a loser. That's a bad job by me. But Jamie Martin actually played, like, he was a backup for almost 10 years in the NFL. And it was a while. But he didn't get his first win until he was 35 years old. All right, now for the finger pointing. We take you now to Santa Clara, California, where the 49ers were the winners. Everyone gave them praise, lavish praise, the 49ers. They had gotten Jimmy Garoppolo from the Patriots. What an amazing addition to the 49ers. And it was celebrated all over the place. Well, now there's a story out, the USA Today, and the headline on the story is essentially the 49ers overpaid for Jimmy Garoppolo. That, and they're waxing poetic, praising, celebrating Nick Mullins. Now, actually, Nick Mullins to me looks like a pretty decent quarterback. Not a great quarterback, but he looks like a pretty decent quarterback. Although the Niners have run a lot of dink and dunk offense, which always gives me pause. But they were supposed to be condemned when they went to their third different quarterback. The Niners had Garoppolo, and then they went to C.J. Beathard, and then they finally put Nick Mullins in. But the story here in the USA Today, they're going on and on and on about how the Niners made a mistake, right? That Garoppolo, even this year when he played the first part of the year, first couple games before he got hurt, he wasn't particularly great, and he got hurt then in week three, and they gave him this monster contract. And right now, Nick Mullins is performing like a top 10 quarterback. which leads to the possibility. Now, there's no way Garoppolo can be traded, right? The Niners aren't going to trade Garoppolo. They're going to go back to Garoppolo. They're going to get rid of Nick Mullins. They've invested in Garoppolo. Like, we had a guy on hold. He didn't get on the air because he decided he couldn't wait any longer. But his argument was the Patriots should go trade for Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, that doesn't seem at all like a possibility. Right. For better or worse, the 49ers, they have locked in on Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, that trap door has opened up, and they're in. They're in, and they can't get out, at least for a couple years. Right? I remember when his contract was signed, that supposed record-setting contract by Jimmy G, I believe there were some outs in the contract, but it was... it wasn't for like a couple of years. Like, you had to wait several years for that to kick in. So he's not going anywhere. Not going to happen at all. Let's go to the phones and Wayne in Southie. Wayne is Southie. I must get to him right away. I usually make him wait, but we have to get to him. What's going on, Wayne?
Mallow, what's up, brother? You put a smile on a man's face, brother. I love when I come home from the gym. I don't say the F cold out. You know what that means?
What does that mean? What is that?
It means it's really cold.
So what did you do? Wait. Did you do cardio or weights, Wayne? What did you do tonight at the gym? What did you work out?
What, tonight? What are you talking about? I worked out at the gym.
I know, but did you do weights or you do cardio or both? What were you doing?
No, I do supersets. It's cardio and weights together, mixed together, and you go real fast, and your heart rate goes up real fast. You burn a lot of calories, and you do all your. I do 10 exercises, Mala. That's one set of all upper body.
All right, you're like at the gym. Really, you're at the gym for hours, aren't you, though, Wayne? I envision
no,
you at the gym.
No, 1 hour and a half. That's it. I get there at 8:30. I'm out at 10. That's how I always do it.
All right. I got you.
Now I know my... No. But anyways, Mal, let's talk about the Patriots, please. Please.
Yes,
I want to explain to you something.
All right.
A lot's about to go down this weekend, and you're going to say Wayne predicted it. And I need that podcast afterwards because I'm going to remember. Okay. Listen, Philly beat Rams the other night. They looked a little good. And now they got, like you said, Nick Foles is in there. Now, the poor guy won a Super Bowl, right,
Mal? Yes, I remember that. I think I watched that.
And he ended up on the bench. Has that ever happened in NFL history?
He didn't. Hostetler back in the day, wasn't he a backup after he won with the Giants?
I'm just saying,
it's rare. Yeah, it's rare. It's rare.
Rare.
Yeah, yeah,
right,
it's rare. Yeah.
So something was going on. Just people don't understand that's how it all works. But anyways.
Wait. Listen. Nick Foles has been a bad regular season quarterback for the most part, right? If you look at his...
That's in the Super Bowl.
I know that. I understand.
The guy got a good arm. He throws the ball far, and he's pretty smart. I'll give him that.
Yeah, not impressed.
Mal, listen, this is what I was talking about. Say he comes in now, and now if they win out, right, Philly, they win the division after paying the worst team for the almost 12 weeks.
Well, the Cowboys. Wait. The Cowboys have to lose, though, don't the Cowboys have to lose under that?
They have to lose one more game, and they got like three hard games coming up. So if they lose one and they win out, though, Philly wins all their games. So Philly's gonna play hard like they played the Rams the other day. They're gonna beat Houston. Patriots are gonna go up to number two again, locked it in, locked in. All right.
And you know what I love about you, Wayne? The last couple of weeks here. I talked to you, I believe, before the Dolphin game. The Patriots are going to beat the Dolphins. I talked to you before the Steeler game. Patriots are going to beat the Steelers.
Are you going to say that? It was a miracle. I'm sorry. I didn't talk to God until he didn't tell me about the miracle in Miami coming.
It's a bad job by God. He's got to let you know these things so you can be prepared. You got to be prepared.
Well, the loss to Pittsburgh makes me mad. That's what makes me mad, Mala. Okay, 14 penalties, 142 yards. Yeah. You know what Belichick did when he walked in the locker room? He took the game book and just threw it in the air at them and said, "You didn't read it anyway, so just here it is."
How about 7 penalties before they could even snap the football? 7 pre-snap penalties for the Patriots.
Yeah,
7 of them.
And big boy Trent, I love him. He protects Brady, but he's always moving, itching like he's itchy or something. Like,
Maybe he needs to take a flea bath or something like that. He might have fleas or something like that.
I really thought we had that game. Dude, I'm telling you, there's a curse on us down there in Pittsburgh, man.
And they only scored a touchdown. Wait, Wayne. Patriots only scored a touchdown in that game. One touchdown in the game. You can't win scoring one touchdown. You thought they were
going
to win the game.
What's going on? 12, what do you mean, 10-minute drives?
Yeah, because you can't stop the run. The other team's going to go on 10-minute drives. They're going to get first downs. They're going to eat the clock.
The defense was horrible. The offense was, I give them 30%. Well, the defense came up with two picks, though, too, and then the offense did. It was a bad game, Mel. Bad. Listen, I'm not going to talk about it because this is how it's going to work. Like I said, Houston's going to get beat by Philly. Philly's going to beat them next week. Patriots, of course, are going to beat the Bills. I feel bad for the poor Bills, don't you, Mella? Because they're going to get all the anger taken out of Brady. He's going to want to eat them up.
I don't feel bad for the Bills. The Bills have sucked for years. I don't feel bad.
They went to four Super Bowls.
Oh, please. I don't know how they made the playoffs last year where they had Tyrod Taylor as their quarterback. I don't get it. I don't understand.
Hey, he was all right, though. I don't know why. Who did he end up with, Mala?
He's the backup with the Browns now. He started the year, and then he got replaced. He was so bad, they came in.
If the Browns win out, the Steelers get out of the playoffs. Think about that.
The Browns need a tie. Like, the Ravens and Steelers would have to tie, I think, for the...
No, they said two games. If they win two games and Pittsburgh lose... Pittsburgh's going to play. Who's Pittsburgh going to play this week?
Let me see. I got the schedule right here. The Steelers have the Saints and the Bengals to close out the year.
There you go, number one, the Saints.
Wait. But the Browns. The Browns are 6-7-1. So if they won out.
Who has the? You just said who has that? Is that the Steelers you're talking about or the Browns?
No, the Steelers. All right, I'm getting it. You're confusing me, Wayne. How dare you? The Steelers play the Saints in New Orleans, and they have the Bengals in Pittsburgh to close it out.
Okay, so the Bengals, they win. Okay, but that game in New Orleans, they're going to get whooped on because they already, they're going to give them a little, what do you call it? New Orleans is going to give them a little warm-up. They're going to be like, yeah, let's play with them and show them what we're going to do in the Super Bowl. And I called it. Yeah. I've been saying to you since the beginning, New England and New Orleans, how many times did I say it to you when you're, get out of here.
Wayne, you got it. You know what? Wayne, you got to give me some props here. Did I not say this was an 11-win Patriot team before the year? Did I not say that?
I went to call up. The first thing I was going to say is my boy Mallow was right. I was wrong.
Yeah. I said they'd win 11.
11-5. But you didn't think it was going to look like that with a miracle in there, did you?
Nah, I didn't think. I thought they'd be worse. Like, they treaded water when Edelman was out. I thought they would lose more.
What's up with Edelman? Three drops. What is going on with Edelman?
Yeah, he looked bad.
And Gordon was so good. What happened in that? I mean, Brady, what, hit him once or twice?
Wayne, the one play, I got to let you go after this, Wayne, but the one play that sums it up, Wayne, throw when Brady was trying to throw it out of bounds, he didn't get out of bounds in the Steeler game.
That was horrible. I don't know what he was doing.
But Edelman and Gronk, both those guys, neither one of them really fought that much for the ball. They kind of I think they expected the ball to go out of bounds. They didn't.
They had Gronk triple covered, dude.
It was bad. It was bad.
Matt, I love you.
Hey, all right, buddy. Be good, Wayne.
No, real quick, though. Wayne called it. I said Houston's going to lose to Philly. Now, so when we talk next week, Houston's going to lose to Philly. Patriots going to go up to number two. Houston's going to go down to number three. Then it's going to be that the Titans play the Texans, and that would be a good wild card, right?
No, I'm not interested.
Titans are in, they said, if they win one more game, Mella.
The Colts and Titans play each other. I gotta go, Wayne. Thank you. All right, there he goes. The great Wayne, one of my friends, my radio friends, Wayne in Southie, who was even just... how would you describe your off-the-air conversations, producer Bridget, with Wayne? He is quite the character, is he not?
He has a lot of wisdom off the air when I screen his calls.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. Very mischievous and fun and bombastic at the same time.
Always happy. Yeah. Always willing to share a little bit too much about himself.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's a fair point. Like, I'm pretty quiet, like, when I'm not bloviating on the radio. You know what I'm saying, Bridget? I don't usually, not very long-winded. Keep to myself a little bit. But my guy Wayne over there, he wants to rhapsodize. He is just gushing. He's just very interesting. All right, we'll press on here, and we will continue the good fight. And the Pro Bowl roster is announced. And I never do too much Pro Bowl radio because I think it's terrible radio. But there is something that came up in the announcement of the Pro Bowl rosters, which I found interesting, relating to the Patriots. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.